Okay, so good morning. As I just said, this is about half a lecture. The demonstrators will come and talk about, they won't talk about, but they'll be available to answer questions about the NS3, and specifically the assignment. So if you're doing this remotely, then yeah, you can send an email. Okay, so we're moving through this sort of overview of the evolution of cellular networks from 2G to 4G, and so we said that 2G was aimed at providing digital voice services, so it gave you a connection oriented service. And it gave you a circuit switch service. Okay. GSM was the dominant technology. Okay. That's the basic architecture, and the idea was that you have this end radio link, and there's a lot of management in maintaining the radio link and then connecting it back into cellular backbone and from there into the regular telephony network and or the data network. Okay. And so it was a big improvement over analog services. But still, had fairly slow data rates. Sort of how everything was accomplished. And one thing that's sort of a feature of connection-oriented channels in general is that you're not just sending data, you also have to send control messages. And so we looked at the concept of logical channels as a way multiplexing all of the different types of messages you had sent on physical channels, which were a combination of time slots and frequency allocations. Okay. So, again, as data services became more prevalent, there was a concern that we needed to provide better resources to data and to put it on an equal footing with your voice services. So again, goal 3G was to allow for then packet switched data transmission. So get away from circuit switching for packets. And the combination of this and technological improvements, radio technology improvements provide higher data rates to your users. Okay. Again, all of this, all of the goals of these generations are specified by the ITU. And the 3G specifications are contained in the ITS 2000. Okay. And so ITU, if you want to propose a 3G standard, I think we will ensure that it meets these specifications. Okay. And there are a number of standards that do. The one we're going to concentrate on today is UMTS, because again, this was always an evolutionary step from GSM. So what were the high-level goals of PSC Vez? And well, again, we should now have data services alongside of speech. The data rates should improve. Exactly how much wasn't specified. Again, an idea that we should be able to roam, so we should have some sort of compatibility worldwide, and acknowledgement that we have all of these multimedia and real-time services that we need to start catering for. Okay. And again, from our perspective, 3GPP, this partnership with the goal of developing specifications for the IAPS 2000 and the IAPS 2000 framework, again, as an evolutionary step from GSM. The proposal was the UMTS standards. Again, 3GPP2 developed and competes with the US, the North American version, developed the competing CDMA 2000s. Okay, so we're not down to a single standard, but it's a number of competing standards. And so what we're going to do is look at the evolution from GSM to UMTS. So what are the sort of key points that have had to change? And we'll sort of sample some details of UMTS. Okay. So again, there's not just a jump from GSM to UMTS, but a number of proposed improvements in between. And so first was just the knowledge of packets exist, and to decide to handle the packets separately, to get improved data rates. And all of these sort of steps will be happening in the GSM spec. So they were essentially improvements to GSM. It was decided that in order to really get good data rates, you really need to radically overhaul the air interface. And to do that, you're going to have to move either you have to cut off what you've been doing and move to the new one, or change the spectrum you're working in. So if you UMTS or 3G in general, there were new spectrum allocations. So you change here, and this is not just wanted because you aren't going to interfere with anything else. Okay. And so LTE is still 3G, but we're going to talk about it in the context of LTE advanced and 4G. Spectrum, so that will be in the following lecture. Okay, so again, radio electronics gives you good overviews of all of these topics. And WCDMA is the most common UMTS interface, so tutorial on posted. It's quite detailed, more so than you're going to get in the notes, but again, if you're interested, it's there. Okay, So the initial attempts to improve data rates revolved around the allocation of slots. So obviously, if you allocate bundle time slots, give more time slots, then you improve your data rates. Okay. So high-speed circuit switch data services, but as it says, still circuit switch, so you're still setting up circuit in order to send your data. High speed, again, comes from bundled time slots. So you can allocate up to 8 time slots to the connection. Okay, that's obviously 8 times the data there. Yeah, that's a theoretical max. In practice, you want to not max less than that. So again, the channels are bundled and they are controlled as a unit. So power adjustments, etc., will be done individually. Okay. When it comes to handover, you have to hand over the entire bundle at the same time. Because you're taking lots of slots, there's a higher probability that when to initiate this, or as you hand over, that the resources wouldn't be available. Okay, so the data rate again is going to be a function of how many time slots are allocated and how many time slots are allocated is subject to negotiation with the network. And so you say basically how much you really like, what it sounds like, etc. So the system will do its best to fulfill those requirements, but again, the resources are not available. The connections can be either symmetric or asymmetric. So again, if you think of the voice connection, it was a symmetric connection. You have one channel in each direction. Here you have asymmetry. Again, it is typically downloaded to have more resources in the download direction. Okay. It's connection oriented, so again, you're charged by the size of the connection you had. Okay, so that's an expensive way to send packet data. Okay. So again, the benefits of that were, you know, that there wasn't huge modifications to the network. But again, it's expensive and it did have problems with resource allocation. The next big idea was to handle packets as their own entities in a packet switch fashion. So this allowed you to move the data rates up, and again, integrate packet switching with circuit switching, and it was done again as a modification of GSM, something that was an add-on to GSM. hits. Check that packet switched services. It's all done, so you can just send, you don't have to set up, you can just send your packets. And you can be charged now according to data rate as opposed to according to connection. So the innovation here is again just to add onto GSM separate units for handling packet switching. And so the main element that's added is the GPRS support node. And this has node associated, so that it has two main components, the serving GSM, which will handle the sending of packets to and from a mobile station, and doing things like authentication, etc. So handling whatever needs to be handled in order for the user to send and receive packets. And then the gateway GSM, which has to forward your packets out of the mobile network into the internet, essentially, and conversely back in. Okay. So to do this, again, it's not that intrusive on GSM. You have to add these extra elements to handle the packets and in conjunction with the switching subsystem. And you can think of the equivalent of the SC for the voice. And then radio, maybe you have to add some software again for packet handling. Okay, so again, the SGSN is the packet equivalent of MSC, so it's handling whatever the issues arise with the radio transmission of the user, between the user and the and so, in terms of all data, is the home location register, etc., the MSC and the SGSN can coordinate to exchange that information. Okay, so that was your GSM setup. And so again, what we've done is we've sort of added all this parallel system that's now handling the packets. Again, the SGSM is going to share all the data with the MSC now. Okay, so obviously, you need to allocate resources to transport packets. and this is on the previous situation. Multiplexing and during session, the users are assigned the number of the value and frequency. Okay. So this can be shared now amongst packets using statistical multiplexing. So that's what we expect for packets switch system. In the downlink direction, this is done on a first come first serve. So at the base station, you just queue up packets and send them out. That's the resource. Obviously, on the uplink, you need some way to allocate your slots, and you want to do that without all the heavy mechanisms of circuit switching. So you do have to request resources, and the request is done through a contention-based access period. So LoRaWAS is a contention-based protocol, and if you have a packet to send, you send out the request, and then slot will be allocated by the base station. Okay. The channel structure is similar to GSM. Now we just have sort of again a second set channels dedicated to the control and transmission of packets. So all the general types that we saw before, control and related channels, they all exist here. So packets. Resources are only going to be allocated for the duration of the channel transmission. And again, since the base station is controlling all this, they can make decisions on load priority. They can make decisions about who gets the channels according to priority. And again, this is all of these channels are all within the structure of the logical changes that we saw for GSM. Okay. So we have the same four types of logical channels. We have data transport channels, so data traffic channels. And again, channels can be bundled in order to give the band data to a user. The allocation now is over what's called a lock, so you get four consecutive time slots in a row. And so that just gives you a certain amount of bits that will be transmitted per block. And then, so that's a frame, the normal frame consists of 52 blocks, so again, it'll sit within the cycle that we saw before. Okay, then we have common control channels. Okay, so these are where we initially get to set up the request for resources. The base station to transmit any information that's to all users. But broadcast channels again, similar to the broadcast channels for the circuit switch side of things, and then dedicated channels which control the channel and the transmission. And so, as before, the sense of thing you get the first the broadcast control channels, the power control channels, the dedicated control channels. Okay. Now, cellular networks have a slight advantage over cellular area networks and can provide quality service in the sense of getting a lot of the channel allocations done centrally. So you just see what needs to happen and then make a decision on what is going to happen. And so there's a number of parameters along which those decisions can be made. You can have precedence. So again, you can prioritize your traffic. You can describe delay tolerance, and it's the usual the users can indicate what the intention of reliability. And then you indicate what they need in terms of workloads. Okay. And based on all that, the system can again see what resources are available and decide how best to allocate those resources. One issue with GPRS is that voice always takes precedence. Okay, so data is still a second-class citizen. Voice was the primary concern. Okay. So, again, depending on the transmission channel conditions, you have various different coding transmission schemes to be used. Okay, and so the difference obviously for those is going to be data rate to achieve. So CS4 would do the best, so the conditions are perfect, and CS1 would do the worst. Okay. But again, if your conditions are poor, there's no point in sending lots of data and having it all not get there or get there correctly. Some less data can actually be decoded. Okay, so as we said before, we can provide quality of service by changing the amount of resources that get allocated. And that, and that can be negotiated between the user and the network. Okay. So, again, the takeaway point is GPRS is the first attempt to offer a genuine packet service over cellular networks. And it's done in that sort of modification of GSM, but the voice is still prioritized. And again, it got you to sort of certain data rates, but again, we wouldn't be too impressed if that was all that was available to us today. Okay. So, the next focus, now that we actually have the idea of being served packets as packets. The next focus was on improving database. And the two approaches to that, one was to again operate 2G spectrum, so then we're just modifying your JSON networks. And the other alternative approach was to again look at a new spectrum and then be able to radically change the interfaces. Okay, so one enhancement to GSM is Edge enhanced data rates for GSM evolution. And Edge triples the data rates offered by GSM, and it does that by improved coding and changes to how it modulates the data. So again, what exactly can be done is depending on the quality of the radio channels and chain your own dots, these techniques, to suit the knowledge. Okay. And so, the earlier data rates are
up to about half a megabit per second, but in practice, probably not. Okay, so again, the signaling rate is maintained, but instead of the GNSK, we now use the PSK, so they should be with 3 bits per per signaling element. So that's, I'm sorry, get your triple. Again, that's only going to work if signal conditions are good. If they're not, you don't have to put up that to your genes. Techniques like frequency hopping are used, slow frequency hopping is used to try and improve the deception. And then blocks are. Given blocks can be carried on different frequencies, so. You know, again, you get some component of the block.
So, again, depending on the conditions, you modify your modulation scheme. So, you use the APSK or the GNSK, and you have different frequency rates. More redundancy, or worse, the channel conditions. In terms of modifications of GPRS,
this requires obviously a change in your transmission equipment.
Okay, so it improves the data rates. I'm not sure where that's the data rate came. I don't think that's
correct. It's the data rates are still lower than that. That does improve the data rates.
Okay, so again, as an evolutionary step, they were bringing GSM closer to the ideals of the 3G, but additionally,
to spectrum allocated possibly radically overhaul these their interfaces to improve the data rates. So within that idea for GDP again for hosting OTS standards. And this is one amongst the competing number of offerings.
Okay, and like we frequently see in networks, the standardization is handled as a series of releases. Okay, so release 98 is for baseline. 99 specified the first few OTS networks, and where we saw code division multiple access that interfaces appear. And again, you have a sequence of releases since then addressing various aspects of the network. So these four are the signaling. Release 5 dealt with enhancements for multimedia. 6 dealt with interoperability. 7 with quality of service. So forth are then moving away from UMTS and into LTE, which again we'll talk about in terms of 4G. Okay, so the main difference between GSM and UMTS is the spectrum, and therefore different error interfaces. The interface between the user and the network changes. The backend is a visual to be shared and isn't to be shared. UMTS retains the idea of classes for quality of service purposes. Okay, and again, the spectrum allocation for UMTS in Europe was done by auction, and again, it's been a lot of the operators overpay. Systems, that's a sort of historical point at this point, at this time. Just interesting to note that other places with other mechanisms like profit sharing mechanisms actually were able to roll out 3G a lot faster. Okay, so again, we see that there are a number of spectrum, and they vary a bit from country or region to region.
That spectrum is further subdivided according to the duplexing method. So is it time division, so you have time slot shifting or frequency division, you have time frequency.
Again, the primary new component is the air interface.
Which is what radio access techniques are going to use. Basically, all of the radio access, all of these, so the ITU again is going to check that the standards are compatible with the IMT-Patterson's requirements. Okay. And so we get a number of those standards that are compliant with IMT-Patterson. Again, concentrating on the moment is yes, but some of the 2G evolutions meet requisite data rates. That is a little sorry, a wireless telephone standard. Again, the data rates are there, so it meets it. Wireless meets the data rate standards. So all of these can be certified. It's quite interesting
that for discussing it until
okay, so standards are named according to the channel access methods, but they have to cover all aspects of radio access.
Okay. So
we get all these different area interfaces. So UMTS has a number of air interfaces. The most widespread is the WCDMA, which again is the first use we've seen now of CDMA technology.
Okay, other CDMA
technologies exist, CDMA 2000.
Okay. So UMTS is going to deal with, again, all aspects of the networking. And so
there's three main components. We have the core network, and so this is both, this is shared with GSM and GPRS, so that's the main components of GSM and GPRS. And that is a medium gateway facility, which is
handles sort of translation of media from one network to another.
We have the radio access network, and so that's controlling again to
it's controlling that
initial link from the user into the network. Network, and so it has to do with resource and mobility management, controls the base stations, manages the radio resources, manages or participates in the handover, and connects your user to the MSC or the SGSM. BTS is renamed a Node B.
Okay. And then of course you have to have the area, so that's all the management, and you also have the actual user. And finally you have the user equipment. Intelligent services are catered for as well. Okay. So again, you get a bit of setup. It's quite similar to what you saw from GSM, where you have a user B connects back to RMC. Everything, all of the different connections are regulated by interface specifications, and so the main interface is going to be understood by the user and the radio network between the nodes in the RMC and between the RMC. Main network. Okay. So,
once again, the idea of specifying the interfaces is that any manufacturer can
build to those specifications and interoperability is possible. Okay. So, if we look at the air interface, there are the usual aspects that we expect. You have a physical layer, physical aspects. You have data link aspects, which are access control considerations, and then for packets. And then you have a resource layer, messaging. Overall, globally, the radio resources. Okay,
so again, at a high level, you're concerned with this, whether a user needs interact with the network, so mobility management, and security management, and then global issues with the radio resources and then individual resources, more individual issues with the resource. Sessions and
the physical transmission. Okay.
So again, you've got the idea that there's a certain amount of control going on that's being communicated over channels, and then user data transmission also has to be allocated channels. And so, as you recall, with GSM, you had logical channels and physical channels, so that what the functionality was to physically when it's being sent. Just to make things interesting and to really to account for the packet transmissions, we now have three types of channels. Logical channels, transport channels and physical channels. So physical channels, again, is the physical transmission. Logical and transport channels, again, logical channels are concerned with what's being transmitted. And the idea is that we can sort of multiplex our logical channels on these transport channels. So different logical entities can share the same transport channel. And so, we can access the external elements. So essentially, now multiple pieces of information. Okay, so I don't propose to belabor the point. Again, mapping the logical transport channels and transport channels there. And that's something about the map layer and the transport channels mapped onto physical channels. Okay. So, again, the idea again is that the transport channel and can carry different logic channels. The layer is going to decide that. Okay, so just having a little look at what is in layers. The physical layer offers physical communication information, and also in addition to just transmission, some of that involves detection errors, those errors, the multiplexing of transport channels, the mapping of the transport channels, physical channels, power control, frequency times synchronization, and essentially just everything that has to do with the signal. So the MAC layer then is the sort of interface between the physical layer and the network behind it. And so it's it determines the function of those of those transmissions. So it will determine what bit rates should be used, it will multiplex the logical channels onto the transport channels. It will determine the resource allocation and manage the access control. So the RLC then interfaces between the MAC and services to overall really good establishments. Okay. So, and set up programming for purposes of the needs to be transported.
Okay, so the radio resource control layer
will then control globally what's going on within the connected within the network. So it's manages the general control services, so the broadcast control services. For users, it will establish these connections as necessary. So, not specifically where the issues are, but also being how the user connects to the So it has the broadcasting of information, those manages the resources at a global level, and within the output codes handle information, determine quality of service.
Okay, so
again, that stack is great. Protocol stack is designed for the bandwidth physically transported back to either a connection or a packet handling service.
Okay, so again, you can see it's similar to GSM, but more complicated because you now have two functions that are trying to handle the connection, making the connection for a voice call, and then the function of packet. That sort of thing would be the same whether you stay in GSM or into the standard GE system. Again, what the big change is the air interface and using new transmission technologies in order to improve the data rate that you can achieve. There are a number of technologies available. Again, one of the more common ones is WCDMA. And so this is a code division multiple access system. And so you're able to increase the capacity of the system by using spread spectrum, which allows you to improve. Okay, so some of the details, the radio channels are 5 megahertz
fly, and data rates are up to megabytes per second. In the best condition, the access is through CDMA, and we have a 5-chip 3.4 megachips per second. In terms of duplexing, so providing the upload and downlink channel, the most common way is this frequency division duplexing, so there's one frequency for the upload and one frequency for the down. Time division is in time division duplexing, you'd have one time slot for the up and one time slot for the down. Okay, so it uses direct sequence spread spectrum, and this improves spectral efficiency, and we can combine it with higher bit modulation techniques. Adjacent cells can use some set of channel frequencies, so again, you can use the whole spectrum, more of the spectrum, while you can think about chip coding and the chip techniques. Well, because these spectrums are shared, you can improve on your handling techniques, and you can also again, chipping rates, and we can use various different modulation techniques. Which gives you an overall symbol rate, and then depending on how you divide that up. Two stages of spreading are used, and stage one is to the broadcast channels to initially connect with the network, okay. And to distinguish the channel with the rest of the channels within the network, and then a second stage should be used to encode a specific user match. Okay, so as we've noted, CDMA systems need time synchronization, and so there's overhead to achieve synchronization. Full synchronization, for individuals. So the initial synchronization is the same for all cells, and the secondary synchronization is per cell. Okay, again, since it's a CDMA
system, power management has become quite important. The signals coming in from the users and all roughness and power level. So for signaling systems, both open and closed loop power control is used. So the open loop is used before, and there's a full link between the user equipment and the base station. At that point, there's only information available, and then once there is a link between the user and the base station, more detailed measurements of the channel can be made, and power control can be performed in both of directions. Okay, the method of power control means that it's indicated that the level of power should move up or down once per cycle. And so like this was all that together. Saw a similar idea with the noise cutting, a very basic experience of say either up or down, roughly follows per, and so we can do something similar here.
Okay. So, again,
at a high level, then things get similar. Operations to noise. Previously, the user has to find or locate a base station to initially connect with the network. And so that means to do that, this the local user is going to look for information on the synchronization channel, and this will allow it to get the time of synchronization and determine which
base station it has the strongest signal to.
Okay, once that's done, needs to find the appropriate chipping code to use, and these will first identify the cell, and then once the cell is identified, allow the user to distinguish itself. Okay, and once that's done, the user is allocated to a paging group. So again, just the
network will look for it in some subset of cells. So
then handover. Can be accomplished either just in a soft or a hard fashion. And so the soft handover, you can then connect it to, or you can connect it
two cells at a time. That's a when the handle was a decision, you can also hand over between modes, so you can go from a hundred duplex to 32 duplex if some of that's available. And you can also hand over from
UMTS back to systems such as GSM. Okay.
So other things that the user would obviously want to do is establish radio connections for data purposes. And so we make the request over our random access channel. Negotiates whatever the service parameters are. And then based on that, the system sells the parameters of the channel
of the resources that you get.
Okay. Once that's done, pages, and establishment of the logical channels and the power control necessary. Of course, that happens into the core network, and then you perform a further connection
through either data or voice network. Okay, so again, it has to
do with these. So if you handle radio aspects, and handle sort of connection to that one, and sort of a
further connection through the okay. So
there are three possibilities for data transport. You can use a common channel, so essentially send the data. You can use a dedicated channel. So this would be for short packets, with the smallest connection overhead. Use dedicated channels, so Google packets, then you can negotiate those parameters for the network. Or, share it among multiple users.
Okay. So, again, just to wrap up,
UMTS is a 3G standard that's been developed as an evolution from GSM. The difference is the spectrum that it's operating in, and hence the difference in variable interfaces. And again,
data traffic is more sensitive to UMTS than it would be to GSM or GPRS. So, technological, the radio improvements were mainly based on, again, moving from the GMSK or this narrowband modulation techniques to spread spectrum techniques, which send a much higher data rates. Price of that was more complicated handling of the system. So for the next 2 weeks, I won't be here, so I'm going to use these time slots as a combination of guest lectures and then time with the demonstrators. So if you're working away on your assignments, then you can come in and ask the demonstrators any questions you have. Okay, so I'll return in 3 weeks and we'll talk about 4G systems and the idea of 4G systems is again to keep the data rates and this is achieved by changing the radio technology yet again, moving to modular techniques and document frequency division multiplexing techniques. So we'll have a look at those when I return in 3 weeks. Okay, so that's it.